Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our Q1 conference call participants today. As always, we appreciate your interest in our company and are pleased to report another successful quarter to you today. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor language, so let's move right to the summary of our financial results on page three. We have seen a strong start to the year and recorded our best first quarter ever. We achieved sales of 4,890 million euros, EBIT of 696 million euros, and net income of 224 million euros. With this strong start to the year, we can confirm our guidance across the board, as Stefan will show you later. We are in particular on track to achieving our 1 billion euros net income target before Fenwal integration costs in 2013, which is 1 year ahead of schedule. Let's move to page four and our financial results by business segment. Fresenius Kabi and Fresenius Helios have continued to deliver outstanding results with double-digit sales and EBIT growth. Fresenius Vamed outperformed our sales expectations with very strong organic sales growth and the benefit of last year's acquisitions. Flat EBIT development at Vamed is primarily a phasing issue and will correct itself later in the year. Fresenius Medical Care saw good sales growth in an uncertain reimbursement environment. The negative year-over-year EBIT development is mainly due to the write-down of our activities in Venezuela and two fewer dialysis days in the U.S. Let me briefly dwell on Fresenius Medical Care before moving on to Kabi, Helios, and Vamed in greater detail. Our Q1 Fresenius Medical Care results were in line with our expectations for the year. We have expected all along a somewhat backloaded earnings development in 2013. As you know, the company faces an uncertain reimbursement environment in the U.S. and selected international markets. I applaud the management team for putting the focus on improving near-term results and operating efficiency. It is in the best interest of shareholders to make this a priority before embarking on major new growth steps. The recently announced share buyback is a meaningful way of letting shareholders participate in the company's strong cash flow development during this transition period. It also gives management time to develop and articulate a convincing growth strategy for the years ahead. Management has a clear understanding of priorities, and this is a time of execution. With this, let's move to page five in Fresenius Kabi. Kabi has seen an excellent start into the year with constant currency and organic growth significantly beating our full-year expectations. The EBIT margin, both including and excluding Fenwal, is at the upper end of expectations. We have focused this slide on sales development to give you the best possible understanding by region of the various factors that are shaping our expectations. Regarding Europe, it is tempting to take the 2% organic growth in Q1 as a sign that Kabi is impacted by the European economic troubles. In truth, the comparable first quarter in 2012 was boosted by competitor shortages in clinical nutrition and the launch of several IV drugs. Organic growth was 8% in Q1  2012, which is way above our historic average. Our IV drug launch schedule for this year is more backloaded, and the last three quarters of 2012 were not inflated as much by clinical nutrition shortages as the first quarter. Hence, our expectation that Kabi Europe will return to mid-single-digit growth for the full year 2013. Turning to Asia Pacific, it is similarly tempting to attribute the lower than usual 9% organic growth to the Chinese price cuts, which took effect February 1st. However, we again need to point to a particularly strong first quarter in 2012 that saw the best organic growth in the entire year 2012. We have every reason to expect a return to double-digit organic growth for the full year 2013. North America, on the other hand, had a very strong start with 14% organic growth. With regard to propofol, other suppliers have entered that market recently, but we do expect to keep the majority market share in the U.S. this year. When tracking our propofol market shares, it is important to properly include sales for Diprivan and imported Propovan to get the real and full picture. For other shortage products, we see no mitigation of drug shortages compared to February. If anything, the number of products on short supply has increased slightly. We still expect the situation to alleviate gradually throughout 2013 and 2014. On that assumption, sales growth in North America for the full year 2013 is expected to be slightly negative, which is consistent with the Kabi guidance overall. Let me also give you a brief update on the FDA audit issues that we presented in February. We are moving aggressively to remediate any possible issues and fully meet FDA's expectations. Top management is absolutely focused on this issue and is giving this top priority. Significant resources are devoted at both facilities in Grand Island, New York, and Kalyani, India, to make quick progress, and we are updating FDA with regular voluntary reports in addition to our required communication. Our estimate of the financial consequences has not changed from February. With this, let's move to page 6 and Helios. It's been another stellar quarter for Helios, with double-digit sales and EBIT growth. Given our successful recent negotiations on labor cost, we also expect continued strong margin development for the remainder of 2013. The German federal government is considering additional financial support for German hospitals, which might take effect in the second half of 2013, and which would be available to all German hospitals, including privately owned facilities. The timing and extent of this support is not fully visible yet, but I would like to confirm that any contribution would be over and above the guidance that we have issued to you in February. On the acquisition front, we have seen one significant transaction announced last week where, for various reasons, we had chosen not to participate. In addition, there are projects in the market with about 120 million euros of annualized revenues. So market activity confirms our expectations that the privatization model is alive and kicking. I would also like to confirm that we are working on an update of our Helios margin improvement model and should be in a position to present that to you as part of our Q2 conference call. With this, let me turn to page 7 and Vamed. It has been a successful quarter on the sales front, in particular when it comes to our service business, where we have seen 15% organic growth. Growing the service business stronger than the project business is a good thing, as it reduces volatility in our revenue development. EBIT has not kept pace with sales, but we're very comfortable to fully confirm our sales and EBIT expectations for the year 2013. Before handing it over to Stefan, a brief word on Fresenius Biotech. Our divestment discussions are proceeding, and we have seen strong interest. At this point, all options that we outlined to you in our investor news in December are still on the table. In the interest of concluding the best possible transaction for our shareholders, we are a few weeks behind in making a final decision on which way to go. But we expect to announce a transaction shortly and can confirm our plan to conclude it during the summer. I can also confirm that there will be no one-time costs resulting from any of the contemplated transactions, and that the group's EBIT margin will improve as soon as the transaction is completed. This concludes my part of the presentation. Let me hand it over to Stefan now.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon, good morning, a warm welcome to everybody. Mark said it, yet another strong quarter, a record Q1 actually, so a very decent start into 2013. Sales came in at 4.89 billion euros at constant currency, therefore growth was at a strong 12% year on year, clearly above our full year guidance of 7 to 10%. Now, you know that for the last time, we are comparing quarters with and without Liberty and DAP. So acquired growth, which was 7 percentage points in Q1, will recede from here. Organic growth, though, which was 5%, is expected to remain at around that Q1 level. EBIT reached 696 million euros, up 6% at constant currency. The margin of 14.2% is down 80 basis points year on year. 70 basis points of that decrease stem from Fresenius Medical Care, driven in particular by a few one-timers that Mark already alluded to and that will be explained in more detail as part of FMC's call in an hour or so. Another 10 basis points of margin dilution accrue from Kabi, and that is entirely a Fenwall effect, in particular given the amortization charge on the intangible assets that we have acquired. For the full year, I do expect a meaningful margin pickup, driven by all businesses but Kabi, where we are performing at the upper end of our guidance range already. Net interest was 163 million euros in Q1, and that amount includes 14 million one-time expenses related to us calling and redeeming early the 650 million euros of senior notes that were originally due in 2016. The underlying run rate of about 150 million euros, that is a good proxy for the coming quarters. Relative to Q1, there will be some ups and downs, which I'd expect to pretty much offset each other. So I can fully confirm the full year guidance of 600 to 620 million, and that is a very solid source of earnings growth this year. The tax rate stands at 29.1% in Q1, bang in line with the full year 2012. So when I said in February that for modeling 2013, you may want to use a rate of around 30%, by now I'd slightly refine that to say that it is unlikely to be more than 30%. Net income, that came in at 224 million euros in Q1, up 12% at constant currency, so at the top end of our guidance range. For the group excluding Fresenius Medical Care, that growth rate is 20%. And if we strip out the one-time charge related to the early redemption of our bonds, it is even 27%. So I believe that illustrates that for Kabi and Helios in particular, we've had a very strong start indeed. With that, let's move over to Kabi on slide 10. And what you see at the bottom of the page is that excluding Fenwall, EBIT reached 231 million euros with a margin of 20%. So that again is at the top end of our guidance range for the full year. Fenwall contributed an EBIT of 6 million euros, but diluted Kabi's margin to 18.8%. Now, the Fenwall margin is by no means as weak as it appears. It just suffers under a massive 14 million euro charge for depreciation and in particular amortization of intangible assets. So the EBITDA margin of Fenwal of 18.5%, that isn't that bad at all. Kabi's Q1 EBIT includes a 9 million euro actual charge related to the remediation of the FDA issues in Grand Island and Kalyani. And that charge is on top of us reserving even a bit more than the entire book gain that we realized as part of the disposal of Kalea, Kabi's French home care business. Now, if we turn to the individual regions, in Europe, the margin is down quite a bit, more than just the erosion I had guided to in February. Why is that? A combination of small individual factors, really. Yes, a bit of underlying price pressure, but also Fenwal, some Forex effects, a bit of mix, given a lower share of higher margin clinical nutrition business, the Kalea disposal, a further voluntary shrinking of our Greek business, and that was high margin, but low cash flow and low ROIC. We have analyzed all of this quite extensively and have also examined our book of business going forward. On that basis, we're confident that along with a pickup of growth in the coming quarters that Mark alluded to, we're also going to see a margin pickup. We expect the product mix to improve and the Fenwal synergies to kick in. So at year end, we should really be looking at margin erosion rather than a meaningful decline. In North America, with a Q1 margin of 38.4%, we've had a very healthy start to the year. And whilst we still expect margin pressure in the coming quarters, my guidance from February, that may prove to be too conservative. And in the emerging markets, we saw the typical slow start to the year. But notwithstanding the price cuts in China, a growing margin year on year. So just as in Europe, I'd expect growth and margin pickup in the coming quarters. Now over to Helios on slide 11, where total sales reached 841 million euros, up 18% year on year. Stripping out damp, we saw strong organic sales growth of 5%, meeting the top end of our guidance range. Total EBIT was 87 million euros, that's a margin of 10.3%, up 70 basis points year on year. And as you can see, damp, now that the heavy lifting of the restructuring front is behind us, has started to make a positive contribution. That is yet another very visible source of earnings growth this year. In the established clinic portfolio, we're at a very strong 11.2% margin, despite meaningful dilution by Duisburg. That level clearly calls for an update of Helios's development plan. And as Mark said, we'll provide that as part of our Q2 communication. Let's move on to cash flow on slide 12. And there, Q1 wasn't exactly great, but Q1 last year wasn't either. For various reasons, receivables, interest, tax, Q1 has traditionally been a subpar cash flow quarter. So no major change for our rolling margin for the last 12 months. And as you can see at the bottom of the slide, both for the group and excluding FMC, we're on target for a double-digit operating cash flow margin and a free cash flow margin in the range between 5 and 7%. Let's conclude with the update on our guidance on slides 13 and 14. First, for our business segments, excluding FMC. And there, I'd like to confirm each and every guided item with quite some confidence. For Kabi's sales growth, we're currently tracking above the range. And whilst we expect a slowdown in North America, Mark gave you the reasons for our optimism elsewhere. And pretty much the same is true for Kabi's margin, where we are at the top end of the range already. Yes, we're projecting a bit of softness in North America, but also a pickup in Europe and the emerging markets. For Helios, organic growth is at the top end of our guidance range, so no need whatsoever to tinker with that. And for EBIT, if you take the 87 million euros from Q1 as a run rate, you're already close to 350 million for the full year, but you know that we have traditionally grown that run rate over the course of the year, and this year will be no different. And to reiterate what Mark said, any effects from the government support package that the cabinet has agreed upon, that will come on top of the 360 to 380 million euro range. For Vamed, 23% sales growth relative to the 8 to 12% guidance range, that actually gives us quite some cushion. And judging from the order book, I'm also very confident for the projected EBIT growth. So for the group, we are, after Q1, already tracking above the range. Yes, the acquisition effects from Liberty and Damp, they're going to be fading. But regardless, taking everything together, we're still very confident of achieving our 7 to 10% constant currency range. Earnings, also, with 12% already at the top end of the range. But do please bear in mind the few special charges, most notably the 14 million euro one-time interest charge that we suffered in Q1. Strip that out, and we're fairly confident about the 7 to 12% range for the full year. Also, with the 224 million euros that we have already ramped up in Q1, as a run rate, strip out the extraordinaries, I hope you will be able to share our optimism about the 1 billion euro mark that we expect to make in 2013. So overall, also from my perspective, a solid start into 2013. And Mark and I will now be happy to take your questions. Thank you so far.
We are now starting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star and two. The first question is from Martin Wales, UBS. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Wales?
Good afternoon. Starting with your guidance, can you give us some idea of the where you see the major upside risk to your guidance, given that you seem to figure at the top of the range for everything, firstly? Secondly, could you tell us a little bit more about how highly you rate the probability of getting some state support for the German hospitals, and perhaps quantify that a bit? We've heard various numbers over the previous quarters from various participants in the market.
Thanks, Martin. Let me just briefly answer the second one, and that is we wanted to be sure this item is on everyone's radar screen, but given that it's still in the decision-making process, I don't think it will be prudent to handicap this at this point. So I just wanted to invite everyone to follow this as it progresses. I'm sure that over the next weeks we'll have a bit more clarity on this, and we'll make sure it reaches all of you. But at this point, other than pointing it out and making it clear that this will be pure upside, we don't really have any more specifics to offer.
Okay. And more generally, in terms of the commentary on your guidance, you're obviously feeling very optimistic. I'm just wondering where you see the major upside risks.
Martin, I'm very optimistic about the guidance range. And whilst we have had a very decent start to the year, there are three quarters more to go. When I look at Helios, yes, with a run rate, we are at 350, and yes, I do expect a pickup. We're in the range between 360 and 380. That is going to take us. That remains to be seen. Also, for Kabi, yes, we have started at the top end of our guidance range, of our margin range, and also even above for growth. It remains to be seen what drug shortages are going to play out over the coming quarters. But for each and every guidance range, I'm full of optimism that we will be able to make that.
Given that we're sort of a third of the way through the year now, and I guess for propofol in particular, you must have a little bit more visibility. Just wondering why you still appear to be so cautious on propofol in particular. I know other players have materialized in the market, but you must be seeing what a limited impact they appear to be having on your business so far. Could you give us an update on where we are in the second quarter?
Yeah, I do think it's not prudent to speculate on that. We have seen strong position in the market for propofol, and hence we're confident that we will retain the majority market share for the product in 2013. And I wanted to underline that item as part of my presentation earlier. But with several people coming into the market now, to pinpoint exactly where that's going, I think that's pretty hard in a market that is as much spot-driven as injectable generics.
I was just more curious as to where we are today, given that we're another month into the, well, 4 months into the year now.
Yeah, keep in mind, IMS data as of now only covers March. We have visibility on our own sales. We don't have visibility on where market shares and so forth are going. So I'm not prepared at this point, with April not being over yet, to speculate on April numbers.
Okay, I'll leave it there. Thank you.
The next question is from Veronika Dubajova, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions. Stefan, apologies, but I think I missed the number you referenced as to the remediation costs for the Kalyani plant in Grand Island. So if you could remind us what those were in the quarter and how much progress you've made in general and the work that you were planning for the full year and any update on when you might be expecting a reinspection from the FDA, that would be very helpful. And my second question is on the pace of APP approvals in the U.S. market. If I look, you haven't really had any products approved since the end of Q1 last year. I'm just wondering if you're still standing by your target of 8 to 10 new product approvals in the U.S. market this year and when we might be seeing those. Thank you.
Veronica, the number that I mentioned as the actual charge is 9 million euros, and I said that we have reserved even a bit more than the full book gain that we realized on the disposal of Kalea.
And Veronica, this is Mark. On the approvals, I think the target that we outlined to you originally was 6 to 10, and so that served generally as a target for each year ever since we acquired the company APP in 2008. And you're right, up until this point, we haven't seen any new approvals this year, but as you know from the past, they're sometimes a little lumpy, so it's kind of hard to speculate exactly on the run rate, but the target is the same target, is unchanged.
Great. Thank you, Mark. And any update on the remediation work? How far have you gotten through the plans that you had following the FDA reinspection and when you might see another inspection? Any thoughts on that?
We're making very good progress on everything we can do at the plants, but I'd also, while this is ongoing, would not want to comment on our proceedings with the FDA. But as I said in my presentation, this is a top priority for us. We're devoting significant resources to this. There's nothing more important to us than really satisfying FDA's expectations and being absolutely sure that our plans are top-notch. So we're working with this with a lot of effort.
That's great. Thank you very much. I'll jump back into the queue.
The next question is from Tom Jones, Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen, or good afternoon, rather. I had a couple of questions. The first that I'd like to ask is just appreciate some further explanation about the volatility in revenues in the service business of Vamed. Over the last couple of quarters, that business has bounced around a little bit, and it once was considerably more predictable than it was. So it would just help me to understand what's going on in that part of the business that sort of explains particularly the quarter-to-quarter volatility in Vamed's revenues. The second question, just as a follow-on from Veronica's question about product approvals at APP, when the warning letter broke, February 2012, I think it was, you were quick to point out that Grand Island wasn't really featuring highly on your launch plans for 2012, but there are potentially a number of product approvals scheduled for launch from that plant for 2013. I was just wondering if whether you might be able to give us some colour as to how your launch program has perhaps adjusted over the last 12 months, or whether indeed it's still somewhat dependent on you getting the issues cleared up at Grand Island. They'd be the first two.
And Tom, I'll go ahead with a bit of a background to Vamed's service business. And we're very happy with that business. It has grown consistently, both organically, but also with the help of some non-organic growth, just because we love that Vamed's service business for the lack of its volatility, actually. The three factors that I'd like to point out over and above the organic growth that we've seen are, number one, the acquisition that Vamed did last year in Italy, and that has caught on quite nicely. We did extensive due diligence. The business worked out just as planned, and we have made over and above the revenues and the contracts that we acquired, made some further progress and actually have also improved our position in that market. Secondly, you may recall that we transferred Helios's post-acute care clinic in Switzerland, in Zielschlacht, to Vamed, just because we wanted Helios to exclusively focus on the German market, and therefore that has given an extra boost to Vamed's service business. And thirdly, as the last item in that string, we have isolated Helios's service business at the upper end of the value-added spectrum, higher-end technical facility management and maintenance, and have transferred that to Vamed with the effect from the beginning of this year.
Okay.
And that is the key reason, incidentally, you may want to look at the transcript of the February call, why our guidance for Vamed for sales exceeds that for EBIT, because that is a business, in particular because we shifted it inside the group, that comes at a margin that is below par.
Yeah, sure. I think at the time you steered us towards or implied something around the 30 million euro mark for reclassification of revenues from one to the other on a full year basis. Was Q1 consistent with that, or is there some kind of phasing issue we should be aware of?
No, Tom, it is very consistent with that.
Perfect. And then on ACP?
This is Mark. On the approvals, you're absolutely right. 2012, we did make our target range. In fact, we were at the upper end of it. And we did say at the time that by sheer coincidence, none of the launch products for that year were planned to be manufactured in Grand Island, and hence there was no impact. We did say at the time already that starting from the second half of 2013, that there were some products, not many, but some, that are planned to be manufactured at Grand Island, and hence, starting from the second half, we will be beginning to pay a price in terms of delayed launches from there. So this is an issue. It's not material to the overall expectations of the company financially, but it is an issue that we highlighted even at the time.
Yeah. Okay, and one more question, if I may. I was just intrigued by your comment regarding the Helios development plan. I know you're going to give us an update at some point in the future, but it's kind of hard to see what you might be thinking with that business, with the established clinics running the margin that they currently are. You know, what is it that needs updating in the plan for that business? It seems to be going pretty well as it is. It's hard to see how you can make it an awful lot better. So I know you're going to give us an update at a future point, but perhaps give us a bit of a teaser of what you're thinking about at this point.
Yeah, Tom, without doing the Q2 presentation now, it's not so much that we're changing any of the operational topics that we're working on, but as some of you have noticed from our five-year improvement numbers, the clinics that are older than 5 years are already consistently performing above 15% EBITDA. And so what we wanted to do is update our target numbers, in particular for some of these older clinics. But we've also noticed a few minor operational changes along the way that we just wanted to reflect in our new targets. So plan may be the wrong word. It's more about the targets that we wanted to update you on. And generally, you will see it's a change for the better.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, with that, Sherry, we can take on one more into the queue.
We have the last question from Chris Gretler, Credit Suisse.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. I had actually no question with respect to Fenval, and from my memories, I think the margin at Fenval was substantially lower, at least once when you last disclosed it in 2011. I think we're talking about a 15% EBITDA margin, and now you're basically seeing a high teens EBITA margin. Actually, could you elaborate what has been going on in that business, and whether these 18.5 is really a sustainable base now, or whether there was for example, any seasonality in there. And also, if I remember right, at Stefan, I think we were talking about the 33 million, amortization charge. And now basically you're reporting 14 for the quarter. So I was just wondering whether there was any update there. So that was my first question. And the second question relates to the use of your balance sheet. And we seen that you're basically tracking at the lower end of your net debt to EBITDA range, and you commented that you thought that it actually was a good use of cash in the case of Fresenius Medical Care to buy back some stock. So I was just wondering whether you could share your thoughts on that with respect to your own company Fresenius, and whether we could expect also something along those lines eventually, given your cash flow. That would be it.
Chris, the second question is going to be taken care of by Mark. For the first one, sorry for the confusion. What I was referring to is an actual EBITDA, so it does include also the depreciation charge. So the 18.5% margin is also excluding the depreciation charge, as is the 14 million euros that I quoted as depreciation and amortization.
Oh, okay, very clear.
Chris, this is Mark. For Fresenius SE, we have clearly no plans for a share buyback. So wanted to be very clear on this. I think we're seeing lots of growth opportunities across the board, and we'd like to pursue those. You're right, we're close to the lower boundary of our 2.5 to 3 net debt to EBITDA corridor, but as we always maintained in the past, there is no religion in this. If for a specific quarter we're a little lower, so be it. But no plans for this whatsoever. I did point out for FMC that in this particular circumstance where we are right now, with a top priority going to operational issues and efficiency improvements, a new leadership team in place, and then some time required to work out a new growth strategy, the buyback makes perfect sense, but that doesn't apply to us.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, and with that, I think we're through for today. Thanks for joining our call. Thanks for your time, and goodbye.
Goodbye. Talk to you second quarter.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We want to thank Fresenius and all the participants for taking part of this conference call. Goodbye.